Friday, February 27th, 2015. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to really change things up a bit. I'm going to take you through. You ready for this? You want to talk about making myself completely vulnerable with my audience and being completely transparent. I'm going to take you through a major failure that I experienced when I first started my business back in 2011. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm actually going to pull back the curtain and take you guys through a step-by-step process that I applied to that failure to completely turn it around. And here's the good news. I'm kind of stopping right there. There's some good news to it. I mean, I thought that was good news, but there's better news. You can actually apply that same formula, because you might be thinking, well, that's great, Paul. I guess if we start a training company, we could do what you did. Thanks, dude. Jackass, right? Now, you could actually apply these the same system to rebound maybe after losing a deal, maybe losing a client. That happens in business. We lose clients, right? Maybe you're in a bit of a rut. That happens to salespeople. And also, hey, maybe you're going through something personal. I can tell you from experience that these steps, these three simple steps, can be applied to a variety of situations, both business and personal. Now, before we do this, I do want to let you know, because we got to pay the bills, that this is brought to you by our online sales program. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and just spend a few minutes talking about that. You know, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but maybe that's just kind of a bit of a loaded question, but things have really changed out there in terms of how people are buying our products and services. And I think sometimes we ask the wrong question of ourselves. We say, well, has sales changed? And many times we just kind of come up, well, sales really hasn't changed. So we think nothing has changed. It's actually the wrong question. The real question we should be asking, are people buying differently? And they certainly are. And part of what's happening right now, I can give you a whole list. In fact, I did a podcast probably about 2 years ago on this very subject. I'll give you a whole laundry list of what specifically has changed out there, but just a few major things is, number one, that it's just harder. It's getting harder and harder to get through to people. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I certainly have. And I'm talking about just if we take a time period of like the last, 7 years, I've really, really noticed it's getting harder and harder to get a hold of people. But I also have noticed that people, and it just seems to be just getting more and more intense, are just highly distracted. So it's very hard to stay on a radar screen. So imagine selling in a world, which we are right now, you don't even have to imagine, where it's just hard to get through, to have a conversation with people. And when you do have a conversation, we're dealing with somebody that has way too many things coming at them. So this was the motivation behind why I started our online sales program. It's just point blank, it's there to help you stand out. And you need to stand out right now. So we have 8 online sessions. And they start from how you can learn things about your prospects that you can actually leverage to warm up a cold call. We're also going to talk about how you can cold call more effectively. Also, too, in an ideal world, you'd call everybody up and say, yeah, get in here, man. I got a blank check for you. It doesn't work that way. People are going to throw all kinds of objections at you. So imagine, it's hard enough to reach them. You finally get them on the phone, and now they're pushing back on you. So we're going to talk about how to handle a lot of these objections. We're also going to talk about, which I think a lot of sales reps out there need just a tremendous amount of help on, how can we complement that cold call with other forms of outreach like emails and snail mail and LinkedIn and Twitter and things like that. But also, once now you're able to get an appointment, which you've worked really hard for, remember, people are highly distracted, they're not answering their phones and all this, throwing all kinds of objections. It's kind of like Indiana Jones, right? All these things coming at him. So you finally get through that whole Indiana Jones maze. Now, We have to talk about how you can take better control of this meeting you just worked so hard for. How can you ask better questions that really get your prospect off of this fence? A lot of these people don't want to make a decision. They just want to cling to the status quo. So I'm going to show you how to ask better questions. And when I say better questions, I don't mean a regurgitation of like open questions and closed questions. Quite frankly, you could pay me double what I'm asking for this course and I still won't do it. I don't want to teach that crap. There are five really cool kick-ass questioning methods that I'll share with you in the course. And you have my guarantee on that, my kick-ass guarantee. But we're also going to talk about how you can present your services in a way that helps you stand out. How to ask for the sale without being salesy. But again, in an ideal world, they'd say, sign us up. We're ready to go. Man, I want it tomorrow. But I'm also going to show you how to handle objections and stalls. And then I'm going to take it where a lot of sales trainers don't want to go. What do we do when these things don't work and somebody just wants to tell you no? It's going to happen, man. You know damn well, if I figured out a system that was foolproof, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I'd be living on an island. I'm telling you right now, smoking cigars, playing my guitar, and with a low tolerance for BS, man. I'd be so damn rich. But you know what? Until that happens, we got to learn how to handle when people tell us no. Now, I don't mean like a motivational speech, like you get right back up and go get him, Gipper. No, I'm talking about like, how about a communication map of things you can do and say from the moment they tell you no, so that you can position yourself to eventually get back in there and hopefully turn it into a yes. So we're going to be launching this Wednesday, March 4th. You guys should know by now, but I just want to say it anyway because somebody always asks me this, that we deliver it live and we always run a recording. So this way what we do is we send the recording out. So now if you can't make one of the sessions, no problem. Go at your own pace because we send you the recording. And even if you do make the session, how cool would it be to have that recorded reinforcement? Now, before I give you the link, I want you to at least acknowledge something, because you might not be dealing with something I said earlier when I was talking about this. What I want you to do is I want you to realize that things have in fact changed out there. And if you're running the same tired plays over and over and over again, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. So maybe, just maybe, it might be time for some new plays in your playbook. And that's what I'm here to deliver to you. So if you'd like to find out more, and I'd like you to at least hear me out and visit the link, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyoursales, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyoursales, or if you're interested in pricing and special incentives on two or more, please email me directly, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. So with that, that's a long time to beat around the bush, man. Let's get down to business. So here's the deal, folks. Way back in a faraway time, really wasn't a faraway time, it was 4 years ago, in August 2011, my business at that point, let me see, was about 4 or 5 months old. And I had launched my training company then. And I tried to launch a training event. And what I mean by a training event, it was going to be a live event, not online. It was going to be right out here in Long Island. I was going to have people fly in, and I was going to do a 2-day training event for everyone. And I failed miserably. I mean, like, I really fell on my face to the point that I had to call off the event. Now, from a financial perspective, which was the least of it, I had been counting on this event to bring in about $36,000 for me and my family. Now, I want to explain why that was important. Because, again, I was a new business. I had landed a lot of clients, but a lot of them were not going to be kicking in until the next calendar year due to budgets and contracts and timing of things and all kinds of stuff. So I had the business, but I didn't have the money yet from that. I had coaching clients, so you know, it was keeping me from starving, and I was doing well with that. But what happens in the training world, just like in a lot of your worlds, right, what happens is that once you get after Halloween, say, like, once we get after actually Thanksgiving, the whole world goes on like a mental sabbatical until after the new year. So training, it's like the last thing people are thinking of. So really at that point, what I was making my living on in Castain Training Systems, I didn't have any online stuff at that point. So the what I was making my living on is people calling me in to train their company, which really wasn't going to kick in until like January. So I didn't really have that money yet. And my coaching, that was it. So I had a whole lot of nothing. So now it put me in a really, really bad place. Now, I want you to think as we go along about what happens when you fail and when you miss the mark and somebody tells you no. Does it put you in a bad place? I'm thinking that's kind of a stupid question. Of course it does. Well, what happened was I was getting in a really bad place. And this is the part that a lot of people don't know because I don't like to talk about it. Now, I wasn't going doing stupid things like off drinking and get myself all kinds of drugged up or anything like that. But my attitude was crap. I'm going to tell you guys flat out. I was getting very bitter. And now that it's kind of over, I'm going to fess up and I'm going to let you guys know. I was getting very bitter toward you guys. And let me explain why. In 2011, I know Haffy just left the podcast and said, this guy's an a-hole. Well, just hear me out. I'm fessing up here. I'm trying to be open and honest with you guys. I'm telling you stuff most people don't want to talk about. But I was very bitter because I felt at that point I had about 3 years of giving you guys all kinds of free things, all kinds of blog posts and podcasts and freebies. And I mean, I had lots of people that I was getting on the phone with back then and just giving my time freely, all these things. I mean, I did a couple of free webinars for some companies just to help them out. They were in a pinch, all kinds of things, right? And I'm saying to myself, but the minute I put the tip jar out, you guys all haul ass out of the room. And I just felt I was just in a bad place with that. I was looking at it the wrong way. Now, also now to add to that, as if that isn't enough, I was starting to get short with some people. I mean, basically, I was being a dick. That's really, I mean, that's just, and of course, dick is an acronym for demonstrating impossible. Now, I don't know what it was, but no, I was really being a dick. And I was also scared. So I was like a scared dick because, I really counted on that cash with the startup. And I was also humiliated because here I am positioning myself as an aspiring sales rock star, and I can't fill a class. And it made me really second guess myself. Does that happen to you guys when you fail? That maybe you second guess yourself a little bit and you think, oh man, maybe, I don't know, maybe I should have been bagging groceries instead of doing this whole sales training gig or whatever. So it really just gave me a tap on the shoulder, made me second guess a lot of things. So I used a 3-step formula that I like to call the accelerated performance framework. Because if I just said I used a formula that I just call cool stuff, that doesn't sound sophisticated. So please understand that when I say this, I got like my pinky extended like a snooty type of person here, like I'm drinking a cup of tea with like the pinky extended, like I'm a sophisticated type of dude here. I call it the accelerated performance framework, or if you'd like to call it the APF system. I don't know. Maybe that sounds badass, but whatever it is, this is what I did. Step number one always begins with your mindset. And when I say your mindset, I'm talking about things like your attitude and your beliefs. And many times, it's these little patterns that we run over and over again throughout our life every time we failed. And by the way, we've been running these patterns our entire life. So I mean, sorry to get all Dr. Phil on you guys, but I mean, you know, it goes back, not that you're consciously thinking about it, but it's the same like reactions in many ways that, you know, guys, you probably know what I'm talking about, like that girl who turned you down in seventh grade when you asked her out to the dance, losing the big game after you worked your ass off and practiced and practiced and practiced, whatever other failures that have happened in your life, it's like, there it is. And we start rerunning this like videotape of like dopey moments in our life or whatever it is. And, you know, it's not a really, really good place. So What you want to do whenever you have a pattern that you're running that is not helping, and by the way, just let me just back up for a minute. What's your pattern look like when you get rejected on a sale? Sometimes, I mean, I know some reps, and I did this years ago until I got set straight. I'd come back and throw my keys down at my desk. It's like 20 years ago until my sales manager really just called me out in front of the entire bullpen, which rightly so. He had a right to do it. I was really diminishing their ability to get on the phone and kick ass. Some of you might get very angry. Some of you might start really, like, in your mind, say, well, what the hell is wrong with these people? They're idiots here. Like what the F, man, right? Like, you run these things that are not necessarily serving you. You may be asking yourself some really stupid questions, like, why me? Why does this always happen to me? I was so close, and then, you know, thanks, God, right? Like, screw me. Thanks for the little, like, voodoo doll with the pin up my ass here. I mean, you know, we run these really limiting type of patterns. So you have to interrupt the pattern. And one of the quickest ways to interrupt a pattern, or interrupt somebody else's pattern, by the way, is by asking, it's asking a question. A question refocuses your thought in a different, and in this case, more productive direction. So I began with a question that didn't necessarily help at the time. I didn't know, but I want to just take you through the process. My question was, well, in what ways could I turn this around? I just kept coming up with nothing, man. It's over. I mean, it's here it is. It's October. I had to pull the plug. I mean, I can't get another one going in November. Here we are at the holidays. And by the way, I don't want to go and try it again and then have to turn around to everybody again and say, well, guess what? You thought I sucked the first time. Well, I suck even more now because it's now two times in a row that I can't fill a class. So that wasn't cool. So what I started then to do is, again, tweaking my thinking. This is all in the mindset here. And I started looking at the situation, which you guys have to do too, suspiciously, as in, there's an answer and a lesson in here somewhere. I simply haven't found it. But now when you look at things like that suspiciously, it uses a concept that they call presupposition. So you're presupposing that there is an answer and there is a lesson. And that really changes your belief system. In other words, it's there. Let's just go find it. Now it's scavenger hunt time. That changes the game radically right there. So the other thing that I did is I reflected upon a story that has always motivated me. So really, just before I tell you what the story is, sometimes you have to go back to something that worked for you in the past. And that's one of the things I believe. There are certain things that if you play them again, just like the limiting pattern, how about one that actually empowers you? If you can play back parts of that or the whole thing in its entirety, it might in fact help you today. So there is a story about Thomas Edison that has always motivated me. And I will tell you, it's not the story that you think I'm going to tell. I know you just gave me an eye roll. You're like, oh no, not that whole thing. Well, you know, I haven't failed, what, 10,000 times or 9,099 times, or whatever it is. You know, I've merely, found 9,999 ways not to do it or whatever it is, right? That's the story that all the motivational speakers beat the hell out of about, I don't know, probably about 50 years ago. And they're still telling it like it's new. But the part of the story that a lot of you don't know is that, and I think this came out in some interview. I'd like to find the interview one day so I can point you guys toward it. But there's a story about Edison that he's being interviewed, and he was actually expressing a lot of excitement when he was up around 9,000 or 9,500 times of failing. Now, let's stop right there for a minute. That is a huge difference in attitude right there that Edison has or had. And the way the average person is wired, and certainly a lot of us right now hanging out on this podcast together, think about it. I mean, we get turned down one time, and pardon my French, but like we turn into like a little bitch. Like we're just like really like, I mean, come on, like you wuss, right? And like, God forbid, even like we get rejected 20 times or we have, you know, 20 attempts and we get the wrong result. We're like belly up to the bar, man, and we're like, you know, crying in our tequila and doing, hey, you're all my best friends, don't leave me. You know, like all that, you know, drunk dialing people and stuff. I mean, like, we're like just pathetic. So here's this wise ass of a guy. He's not really wasn't a wise ass. I don't know. I didn't hang out with him. I'm not that old, folks. But, I mean, he fails like 9,500 or whatever it is that he was up to at that point. And the guy's getting excited. Now, I want to be silly for a minute because sometimes when you're silly, people are going to remember the story. I like to picture Edison. Like, my version of Edison is probably not the politically correct Edison, and I'm sure it's not the actual Edison. But my Edison, Castaigne's nutty kind of creation of Edison, is that I picture him, or, you know, picture him having been this type of guy that when he was up around 9,500 times and he was getting excited, he was slapping people on the ass, man. He was just like ass slapping. And they could ass slap back then because they didn't have HR departments like we do today, and they sure as hell didn't have drug testing. So you could do stupid things like that and still kind of get away with it. And, you know, and even if you could, you say, well, I'm Thomas Edison, man. I can slap people on the ass, right? So I just picture him getting all excited. Now, the reason why he was so damn excited, and this is what I want you to take note of, and this is what I took note of to pull myself out of the rut, was that he was excited because he knew he was running out of the wrong answers. Think about that. What a different frame of mind to have. So going from woe is me and I suck and I failed all these times, it's like, holy cow, maybe he even said the S curse as he was ass slapping somebody. Have I made that point clear? He was ass slapping. I'm sure of it. It's written somewhere he was doing this. And he's getting excited because he knows that by process of elimination, he has to be getting closer to a bullseye. So maybe we need to think about things like that. So, guess what? I didn't stop there. This goes on, man. I got a lot more here, gang. And no more ass-slapping comments. But anyway, but here's what I started doing. I started thinking in a way, I don't want to say like Edison, but kind of like I was looking at that and I was saying, you know, this guy kept a journal and he kept like very precise records of every experiment, what worked, what didn't. So each time maybe he changed some kind of a fiber in the light bulb, or maybe the next time he changed how it was wired or the process to get it hooked up, whatever it was. And I started looking at the world as my laboratory. That was a major mind shift right there for me, that everything I do in sales, everything I do in this business, everything I do in my coaching practice, everything I do in life from now on is a laboratory and one big experiment. And therefore, I'm going to keep my journal, which I had been keeping at that point for, I'm guessing, it was probably 16 years at that point. Right now, it's about 20 years I've been keeping a journal. And I just started making little notes here and there. So then I changed the question I was asking myself, and this made a major difference. In what ways could I do it differently next time? That gave me all kinds of ideas, man. I mean, everything from my pricing point to how much time I was using to promote the event, even like, you know, keywords I was using in my blog posts, and how I back then I never even talked on my podcast about my online events. Like, you guys know I did it today, right? But what I also did, and please write this down, this is incredibly hard, and man, it was just very difficult for me to do, and I know I can't be alone in this. I decided to make myself very vulnerable, and that's part of the mindset, right? An attitude of being vulnerable. And I started asking some people who originally had been considering the course why they didn't sign up. And the key to it is, oh, well, actually, let's stop right there. When people turn you down, and they say, okay, listen, we've reviewed your proposal, however it is they say it to you, thanks for the memories, whatever it is they say, do you respectfully ask them why? Because if you're not, I'm telling you, it's a very difficult thing to do, but that should be your major takeaway today. That should be one of them. So I went back to these people and I asked them. But now here's the key. When you ask people why, you cannot punish them for giving you the truth. And most of us, we start pushing back, our ego kicks in, and all kinds of things, and getting defensive and everything else, instead of taking our medicine. So that's what I did, and I heard some things I really didn't want to hear, some things that hurt my ego, but guess what, I got over it, right? I'm telling the story now, I don't seem too distraught here, but yeah, you got to take the medicine. So I started getting answers that I wouldn't have gotten before if I had continued to embrace that attitude of a victim instead of a humble student, instead of somebody who was just conducting one big experiment in his life, somebody who was looking at everything that he was doing and trying to find the lesson in it instead of being a victim. Finally, something very interesting started to happen before we go on to the second step, is when answers would start to come to me at the weirdest time, because I was sitting there a lot, thinking it, even overthinking it, asking myself different variations of that question. In what ways could I do it better next time? In what ways could I turn this around? In what ways could I promote this differently? In what ways could I get interest? In what ways could I, you know, like whatever the question was, I could go through all of it all day long. But what happened was, is that my brain now was running almost a background program. So I could be driving in the car, I could be on a flight, I could be hanging out, I could be reading a book, I could be cooking, I could be playing the guitar. All of a sudden, ideas started coming to me. So when that happens, by the way, and I'm sure it happens with you guys already, you have got to just be like real superstitious about it. I don't mean like in a wacky, like crazy type of way. What I mean is that you have to be very suspicious in terms of that, you know what? Or not, you know, like more superstitious, I'm sorry. Like this idea could fade if I don't capture it and get it on paper. So whether you have to go and use the recording feature on your smartphone and just simply make a note to self, or maybe you just need to carry a journal around in your bag like I do and write it down, whatever your system is, you need a system. I'm saying whatever your system is, if you have a system, you need a system in there to capture ideas, because I'm telling you right now, the average human being, depending on who you want to believe, has anywhere, what is it, from like 60 to 90,000 thoughts a day. And meanwhile, half of us can't even remember what the hell we ate for breakfast. So it's kind of like I Love Lucy in the candy factory. All these ideas flying off the conveyor belt, some of them are really damn good, and we're just not capturing them. So that's what you have to do. As these ideas come to you, and they will when you ask the brain it like a legitimate question instead of why me, you've got to be prepared to capture it. The second step is you need information. So it starts with the attitude, and you need information. One way to get information is to find people who are already getting the result that you want. Now, I looked on the online community. I decided not to look in the sales world. No disrespect to my peers, but they were giving away webinars at that point. They were the last people I wanted to look at. I wanted to look at people who are selling courses online and just kicking ass and crushing it. So I started looking at people more in the internet marketing world and watching how they market their products and services. I signed up for their email blast. I was looking at it. I was watching how they launch products. I was looking at keywords they were using. I was looking at their video. I was watching and paying attention as the humble student how they were promoting things in their podcast and everything else. And I was making decisions along the way. Is this going to be something that I can embrace with my personality? Because I want to be true to myself, but I also understand I need to change some things. So things like that. Also, I was asking people straight up, and again, it goes back to the attitude in a way. I was asking them straight up, how'd you do that? I was asking them, I mean, complete strangers. I'd send them emails, and it was interesting how many people are willing to help you for free. Now, there's something that you have to be aware of, and it's going to sound like I'm saying a bad word. I'm not. I want you to listen carefully what I'm saying. When, you know, with regard to asking people for advice, you never want to become an asshole. Sound like I said a bad word there, right? Like you're going to tell my mom or something? Good luck, because I didn't say it, and, you know, she's no longer here. You can't say anything to her. But I said ask, A-S-K, hole, and I'm not going to spell hole for you, because if I have to, then you have bigger problems. But an asshole is somebody who asks for advice and just does whatever the hell they want to do anyway. Don't, you know, sometimes people think, well, I could check that off the list now. I'm making myself vulnerable and asking for advice. If you're not going to listen to what the hell people are saying to you, don't ask for the advice. Also, too, you're going to find that people are not going to be willing to give you advice anymore if they feel like you're blowing smoke. So be very careful about becoming an asshole, especially with people that you encounter on a regular basis. Have you ever met an asshole? Because I did. I've worked with some. And I'm like, you know, at one point with some of them, I'm like, you know, I keep telling you what to do. You obviously value my opinion, but you just proceed to do whatever the hell you want. So, no, I'm not going to help you today. Now, get out of my office and away with you now. I didn't say it like that, but it was probably pretty close. But anyway, I started studying internet marketing. Now, the reason why that's critical for you to know is that I decided to take something outside of my normal realm that was closely related to what I wanted to achieve. Now, my normal realm is sales. I came up almost the old-fashioned way. Lots of calls, knocking on doors, snail mail and all that. But the world has changed. Certainly then it changed. And I was doing stuff online. So it's not that I had to get rid of those techniques. It's that I had to complement them with some other techniques. So I started studying that. And I started absorbing everything I could on the subject. So that's really part of it too. And I also think it falls under attitude, like immersing yourself in things. So as you look back on why you're losing deals maybe, or why you lost a particular client or whatever, you may look back and you may say, well, maybe I could have been better at service. Well, then why don't you immerse yourself in learning about creating wow experiences and studying companies like Disney and Zappos and Amazon and all these things, and just try to learn from all these different things. But I think that's very, very important. But also realize that sometimes the answers are out of your immediate realm and they're in something that's very, very related. And by the way, just a quick nutty aside, you guys know I'm a musician and I've been playing a long time. And one thing that I did that I feel that I did right, I did a lot of things wrong with being a musician, and I still do. And by the way, that's why we have coaches, to get us back on track. And that's why I have a guitar teacher. And that's why I have, three coaches at this point. But anyway, what I did was I realized that, you know, people are playing a certain way. And they're all studying, like, I use the example a few podcasts ago, Yngwie Malmsteen. So instead of studying Yngwie Malmsteen at that point, which is a little difficult for me, I got to be honest with you. I mean, if you ever heard the guy play, man, I was like, yeah, I think the first step is you have to become possessed to be able to play like that, because humans cannot play that way. I decided to go back to his inspirations, and I started going back to like Bach. I started learning violin concertos transcribed for the guitar, like, you know, Paganini's 16th Caprice and things like that. And so it was like out of the realm of what I was doing, but it wasn't. And I think that's what you have to do sometimes with your learning. You might have to open yourself up to be influenced by things that on the surface seem like they have nothing to do with it, but it gives you the same end result. And I think that goes back to your attitude and opening yourself up for that. Now, the other thing now, as far as this, remember, the ideas now are starting to come to me now, and now I'm starting to see things. I'm seeing things about my price point. I'm seeing things about what's going on in the online world that I wasn't doing. And now I started realizing that, hey, I got to study webinars, because this is real. I need to start moving this stuff online. That's really where this is going. People don't want to get on a plane and shell out $1,200 and then have travel expense. I mean, I believe they do. But you know what? I was thinking, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I should be doing this online. So I started studying that. I started studying webinar marketing. I started watching people getting the results that I wanted. Now, this is where the trap happens. They call this the knowledge trap. And the knowledge trap occurs when most people out there, they'll be sitting there and they'll say, well, I have the right attitude. I want to learn, and you know, I want to figure it out. And they're getting the information and the knowledge. Hey, I'm listening to Castain on his podcast, and I took Castain's course. But you know what, though? Having the attitude and having information that's sitting in your notebook really doesn't mean dick. I mean, seriously, I'm sorry I'm being blunt today, but I really want to have a real frank discussion with you. It really, that is the mistake a lot of people make. And if you're not getting the results you want, I guarantee you that you might be getting stuck in that knowledge trap where your attitude on the surface seems like, in the mindset, seems to be there. You're getting information. You're consuming podcasts and you're consuming blog posts and courses and books and all that kind of stuff, but you're doing nothing with it. It's useless. So that is where the final step comes in. And it's a little something called action. An action you need to circle and underline, put stars and notes and arrows that say, over here, dude, because this is huge. Now, again, the world was becoming my laboratory. So I launched my first product. I had no product. I basically went from here's free stuff to pay me $1,200. That was a major part of my failure, that once I just let my ego go wait in the car and really open myself up to be a humble student, this is what I heard my audience saying, and this is what I felt in my heart. So, and I felt very like a wuss when I said that in my heart. I feel like we're now going into a Match.com commercial. So let me pause this, get in a fist fight with somebody, toughen up, and get the hell back in here. All right. I headbutted somebody. I'm back. Got my ass kicked too, by the way, but I was good for about 3 seconds in that fight. But anyway, I started with a $19 product. And by the way, 4 years later now, I still sell it, and I'm still making money on it. It's called the Social Networking Playbook. And if ever you're interested, you go by my website, yoursalesplaybook.com, and you look at the little tabs that are up at the top. It says My Book, and it's right up there. You could check it out. Then what I did was I launched a webinar. That I did when I did that webinar, humble student, world is my laboratory. I started looking at what I could do differently next time. And instead of waiting 6 months, I said, I need to accelerate this. And that's something that I picked up from Tony Robbins. When me and Tony were hanging out, we were having a few beers. He was drunk, you know, with singing songs. He's like, Paul, man, play the guitar, dude. You kick ass. I'm like, Tony, come on, man. You know, I got to drive you home again. I'm loaning you money and all this. But anyway, no, but seriously, here's what I learned from Tony Robbins, from admiring him from afar, because that's about as close as a guy like me gets to Tony Robbins, was that you can accelerate the process. When he first started, he was working for an organization. I think he was working, I could be wrong, maybe it was Jim Rowan back then, whatever. And what he found was in that organization that there were speakers or whatever that would speak like 6 times a year. And they were good, and they gained a certain level of experience by speaking an average of 6 times a year. Tony said, well, you know what? Screw that. How do I get 6 speaking opportunities in a month? So I'm getting what they're getting in a year, in a month. And that's what I decided to do here. So I immediately, a month later, launched another webinar, and I started getting better. A few months later, I decided, okay, it's time for a course. So I launched my sales camp program in the summer of, 2012. A few months later, now, I didn't wait. Again, humble student, man. I'm making notes. I'm seeing what went right, what went wrong. I'm asking people what they liked, what they didn't like. People that were considering me to put 20 and 30 people in that didn't, some did. I asked them both, by the way. I asked the people who didn't, why didn't, I'm sorry if I'm putting you on the spot, but I need to learn here. I got to practice what I preach once in a while. Why didn't you go with this? The people who went ahead, may I ask so that I can continue doing this? What prompted you to put 20 and 30? I mean, I had a person that summer put 75 people into that sales camp. So I would ask these questions so that next time I could get out there and do it again. Why reinvent the wheel? So again, making myself a student. Now, I just kept taking action. I was paying attention to the details, and I was willing to make little changes as we go. And every time there was a setback, I said, I got to be like Edison, man. I'm not having 10,000 failures here. Maybe I've had 10 or 15 since the last one. Small ones, though. I got to learn from it. I got to get excited. So here's what ended up by happening. In June 2012, I decided to launch our online division. And our online division, we call it Rockstar University. And it's nothing fancy. I didn't want it to be fancy. I didn't want it to be something that seemed like we were really trying to sell you. I wanted it to be very casual, almost like you were going and watching me and my garage band play. So you could access it, by the way, by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/RSU, which stands for Rockstar University. Now, here's the part that I hope impresses you. Because there was just a really incredible, not ending to the story, but just a complete turnaround. So since June of 2012, you ready for this? We've had over 3,500 people attend the online courses and the webinars. Now, from that $3,500, it doesn't stop there. And by the way, I'm not going to be tacky and tell you what that amounted to, but I can tell you right now it was more than the $36,000 or whatever it is I was hoping for, a hell of a lot more than that, several times more than that. And if you do some quick math and you look at what I'm charging today, my average course, my lowest course right now that I offer is $595. I have another one that's $695. And yes, when people put people in bulk, they pay less than that. But my average webinar now is $99. So when you start adding up those three things and you understand that I've had over 3,500 people embrace those products, you'll realize that that $36,000 mistake was the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, it doesn't stop there. The people now who go through my courses online have become coaching clients, so that generated revenue. And I'm going to give you a number on this one in a minute so that you can really see the impact of learning from your mistakes. Aside from becoming coaching clients, they have hired me to come out and train sales forces. I've had companies hire me to train 150 sales reps and 20 sales reps and 10. I had a small group of 5 here and there that I worked with. Speaking engagements. Oh my gosh, man, so many speaking engagements came directly out of that class where maybe their boss came by and heard me and they were like, hey, who is this guy? I love what he has to say and he's a little nutty like me or whatever it is. So just on this part of it alone, remember, we've had 3,500 graduates of the webinars and the online training, whatever it is, but just in the public speaking and keynote addresses and coaching clients, we've generated over $250,000 just from that. So you can see how just changing a few simple things and just looking at that $36,000 setback as an opportunity, it really changed the trajectory of my business to the point that I do way more online stuff today than really any other thing that I do. I mean, I still do all the other things. I love doing the other things. But the bottom line is that I'm getting kind of spoiled. I really don't have to do the other things. So I'm able to really, in a fraction of the time, make about 5 times the amount of money that I would be making if I was just only doing the other things. So here's really what your homework assignment is going to be. The next time that you have a setback of any kind, business or personal, next time you're rejected, you lose a deal, you lose a client, maybe you have a bad result that comes your way, maybe you're in a funk or a rut, I want you to understand that we have that 3-step accelerated performance framework, which starts with your mindset, then information that you need to get smarter and to turn it around. You want to avoid the knowledge trap. In other words, we don't stop at just good attitude and having information. We move on to the third part of the framework, which is taking action, noticing what's working, what's not working, and remaining committed to doing whatever it takes to get yourself back on track. Now, with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And you know what? Actually, hold on. I was going to do my little sign-off. I really opened up to you guys, and I'm hoping that this type of podcast was very helpful. We certainly went a lot longer today. Please do me a favor. If this impacted you in any way, if you have any thoughts or comments, if there's anything that particularly resonated with you today, if you're going to be doing anything different as a result of today's podcast, would you please shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Now this time, let me go back into my thing. Let me do my sign-off thing here. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and we create courses and offer one-on-one coaching. And by the way, I could be your coach. You get off your ass and you call me, man. We should be working together already. To help you sell more, now visit yoursalesplaybook.com/hire_Paul. Let me say it again. If you want to learn more about how I do this and how we could work together, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/hire_Paul. Meanwhile, let's all get out there and sell something, folks. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.